Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 1159 for January 18th, 2022. We are live here from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. My name is Denny Sunderly, and I'm filling in for host Pete Werner today. I'm joined at the round table here by my friends, associate producer Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Amazing Dreams Unlimited travel agent Kathy Worley.
Hi, everybody.
And, of course, ever-faithful executive producer Craig Williams.
I'm thinking I want to change Rhino's to assistant to the producer.
Ooh, assistant producer. Assistant.
No, assistant to the producer.
To the producer.
It's the same thing. Assistant producer.
So how would that change things up, I'm wondering?
absolutely nothing.
In title only. Bless you. We're so glad that you have tuned in today. We have a lot to go over, Walt Disney World news and fun things like that. But first, we want just to remind you that we, like all shows here on the Diz Networks, we are brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan the next Disney vacation of your dreams. Visit them today on the web at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And I've got some housekeeping, so I think I'll go ahead and breeze right through mine right here at the top of the show. Number one, if you are at all interested in the podcast cruise, Jackie Gailey has made a button on the homepage, so go to wdwinfo.com. Our podcast cruise is going to be on the Disney Dream, May 16th through the 20th. We are so excited about it, and all the details that we have thus far will be found by using that link, that special green button at the very top of the homepage. Do we have every single schedule detail? No, we don't have that yet, but hang in there. It'll come eventually. Number two, we have a cool new thing to launch today. So starting today, every month, Pete will pick his favorite scent of the month for Magic Candle Company. It's like Pete's picks here for Magic Candle Company. And those who have subscribed to our daily newsletter mailer are automatically enrolled in a drawing to receive one large candle and one candle warmer in Pete's scent of the month. So if you have not already subscribed to our daily mailer, please, please, please do so. You'll find the link to do that in the show notes down below. You'll also find it on the homepage. If you look all the way over to the right, you will see a little envelope. Click on that and it'll give you the link to sign up for the daily mailer. So at the end of every month, his pick will be chosen, will be sent to someone who wins, whose name is chosen. And this month, his scent of the month is a brand new Back in Time. Hello, Back to the Future, you know, vibes here. Pete said it reminds him of Drakkar Noir. So all of the good stuff from the 80s, that's what Magic Candle Company has really put into this candle. And I would agree. I agree with the Drakkar Noir. So it's a lovely, it's just a nice warm scent. So if you're looking for a good warm winter scent, this might be something that you really enjoy. So definitely sign up for our mailer if you haven't already. Don't forget that if you want to place an order at Magic Candle Company, you can use discount code DisneyInfo to save 15%. But definitely, if you get Back in Time, let us know what you think about it. I just love it because it makes me think of Michael J. Fox and those amazing movies.
I love Michael J.
Yeah,
Fox.
Teen yeah. Wolf.
Teen Wolf, really?
Is that not what the candle is inspired by?
No, dear. It's not. Oh, Craig, bless you. I tell you what. Yeah, no, I... Hello, Back in Time. Good stuff. My last housekeeping is, of course, that we have relaunched the Power of 10. We are on our way to raise $10 million for Give Kids the World Village. And of course, there's an opportunity that we all have to create our own personalized fundraising page. Really cool stuff. You can share that on Facebook, all over social media. You can kind of trick it out with your own pictures, your own headers, all that jazz. You get to set the limit about how much you are, you know, your goal to raise for Give Kids the World Village. So I definitely recommend that you check that out. You can go to the green button again at the homepage. We have three amazing green buttons up at the top of that homepage. So please check that out. Anybody else have a little housekeeping?
I do have housekeeping, but I'm going to wait till the end of the show so we can actually get to the stuff that people are actually tuning in for. So wait till the end for mine about shows and other random stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else, Kathy?
No, I'm good.
How are you all doing today? You doing okay?
Good.
Yeah?
I'm fine.
You're fine. Okay. That
was fine. It's whatever.
It's whatever. Isn't that just 2022? I mean, we have all gotten to the point where it's just whatever. It's whatever.
I thought I'd be walking on a paved road, and here we are, shards of glass. Or those driveways that were made out of shells from the beach that everybody loved in Massachusetts.
Oh.
I was always like, this is a joke. I don't get it.
Oh.
It's fine.
I thought about how sharp those shells would be to walk on.
No, so. I always, my mom was like, we're going to do this driveway. And I was like, why do you hate us?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And when you're bad, I'm just going to push you down into it. She didn't. Legally, I can't say she did. Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Just kidding.
Oh. God, my mom doesn't watch this.
Love you, Mom.
She's going to be so mad.
Yeah. We've got a lot of fun Walt Disney World news to talk about. And we've also been to the Festival of the Arts at Epcot. We had a first day there, which if you're following along with our YouTube channels, which if you're not, please do so. We would absolutely love that. If you have been following along, you know how the first day went in most part. But I think that there are probably some little nuggets that we can share along the way, advice that we might give you if you are planning a visit to the Festival of the Arts. So we might give that some attention as well. Also, I want to say hi to live chat. If you are watching as this show is live, we just appreciate you. We appreciate you even if you're watching afterwards. But if you're watching live, you get to join in on the fun. And we're excited
don't,
that you
don't
are.
Forget about those listeners.
Absolutely. And our listeners.
They're bigger
you.
And bolder.
You know what?
You gotta be bad.
And that is the only, that is the main way that I would consume the show before ever entering this room was just listening. I would put on the show and it would make my commute to work that much better.
And did you talk back?
Oh, yes.
I used to do that quite a bit.
Did you?
Yes. It's like, I wish I could be on that show. And then now here I am.
Here you
but
are.
It was like sometimes it was frustrating because it was like you wanted to say something, but you couldn't.
Yeah. And now you can.
Now I can.
I remember where I was when you were on the show for the first time.
Okay.
I was in Target shopping for work stuff. And it was you were talking about Wilderness Lodge.
Mm-hmm. I was.
And your experience there. And it was.
Yes.
It was neat. It's really neat to have your
thanks.
Voice.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yay, Kathy. So big things are afoot here at Walt Disney World. If you are planning a stay here, a visit here, you'll want to know that some of our favorite restaurants are indeed reopening. This broke the morning. Disney announced it the first morning on Friday morning of the Festival of the Arts. So it was fun to finally hear that Flying Fish has gotten a reopening date. It will reopen on January 27th. Turf Club Bar and Grill over at Disney Saratoga Springs Resort will reopen on February 3rd. And Jico, the cooking place, which I know a lot of people have waited for this reopening announcement. Mm-hmm. It'll be reopening on February 17th. Of course, you'll find Jico right across from Boma at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And it's a lot of people's favorites. It just is. So reservations open for these three dining locations on January 20th. So set your watch, mark your calendar. I know my husband has done that because he absolutely cannot wait for Flying Fish to reopen. So this made his day for sure. What are you all, are you excited about this? Is there a restaurant on the list that you just can't wait to get back to? No.
I'll be honest.
Moving on. I
do not regularly eat at any of the restaurants, especially table service restaurants, and I've made that very clear. It's not that I don't like it. Every now and then when I do get out to a table service restaurant, I usually have an enjoyable time, but it's just not what I flock to. It's more of a work necessity thing than oh, if I want to go have a nice night out, I don't go to Walt Disney World, which is weird because I think most people would be like throwing their hands up. Why wouldn't you?
Right. Well,
there's a lot of great dining in Orlando. It's one of the best things about living here in general. I mean, I'm happy about Jiko because I've eaten at that bar plenty of times. And
really?
Yes. The restaurant itself I enjoy, but I find that I like the choice of just being able to go to sit at the bar and have a glass of wine. And if I want to order an entree, that's fine. If I just want appetizers, that's fine too. So okay. That's my most favorite one. With Flying Fish, I will fully admit the last time I ate there was that opening night that it reopened and it was good, but I try to avoid the boardwalk at all costs. With the exception of, Caribbean Beach is definitely low down the list, and Old Key West is at the very bottom. We've established that, but a boardwalk is right in that group. I don't find anything appealing about it.
Mm. See, I love Trattoria Al Forno personally.
I think
Flying Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think Italian's one of the easiest foods to learn how to make, and so I don't like going out to Italian restaurants. I don't need to go somewhere where I feel like family.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Craig. How about you, Kathy?
I am glad they're reopening just so I don't have to explain to people why they're still closed.
So perfect.
You know, because that does, you know, I get that quite often. And we used to go. He says he doesn't go. We used to, every Thursday, we go out and have dinner somewhere. And with Disney, usually you can talk your way into just about anywhere, you know, even when they say they're cracking down on security. But since COVID, they really have cracked down on security. And it's like taking the fun out of trying to eat on property somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll just go somewhere where I don't have to, you know, tell them a story or give them, you know, my reservation number or whatever. So we don't really eat on property anymore.
Yeah, as a local, they really do. They have really cracked down on checking. It doesn't matter what restaurant you're going to. You have to have that reservation number, which is fair because they're holding that space for guests of the hotel or of the restaurants. But it is
it's none of the places are really that crowded, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. like you were saying, Caribbean Beach, we used to go over to Sebastian's when they had, you could order off the menu instead of the all you care to eat skillet. That was never that crowded.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, hold a space, but if you make it that hard to get in, who's going to come?
That's true. Rhino, you said Flying Fish?
Yeah, I feel like I've enjoyed Flying Fish. I mean, I don't frequent a lot of the sit-down restaurants as much as Pete, you know, that he loves the sit-down dining stuff there. I know he's a fan of Flying Fish, but I feel like when we went for – when it, like, first opened mm-hmm. – what did it used to be called?
It was Flying Fish. It just rebranded.
Rebranded. Yeah. Okay, that's why I was like, I'm second guessing myself now. But I thought the meal we had when we like rebranded was great, and then I had eaten there one other time, and I thought it was really good. So I was like, oh, you know what? That'd be something for like a nice occasion or something like that mm-hmm. to go back to. But I'm still Sebastian's was always my like go to. So the day that goes back to the tableside ordering, I'll be happier because I haven't done it with the skillet. Yeah, yet, but I have heard kind of like mixed things about it, I feel like. So I'm like, so we'll see. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm just, January seems a weird time when everyone's on their health and trying to be better kick to be like, you know what we've got for you? More restaurants to come and eat at.
Piggy.
Yeah. I hear in my head all the time, piggy.
Oh, my goodness. It is interesting, though. It surprises me that we still have restaurants that have not yet reopened, right? Like, mm-hmm. the parks have been reopened since July of 2020, and I know that they've kind of come back on a little bit at a time, but
it's just staffing. All it comes down to it. And we can go down that wormhole of they should pay more money and more people would want to work there. But you know what? They're clearly finding people or they're working around and how to get them open. And, you know, that is a win on guest side. At least they are reopening. If they reopen and they're junk, then oopsies. But at least they're reopening.
That's right. Well, and speaking of kind of going back to the way it used to be, these two restaurants that we're about to talk about have been reopened, but didn't have the buffet as part of it. So also released in the information that we received on Friday morning was that the buffet options would return to Cape May Cafe on February 15th and Ale and Compass for breakfast on January 31st. I, for one, am so glad that Ale and Compass breakfast is returning because I have enjoyed it. For full disclosure, it was a preview a couple of days that we were being shown a lot of the resorts and their amenities. But man, that breakfast was amazing. Now, I have since been back to review it with Jackie, and we were just to see that buffet, because it's a gorgeous space. Like, they've got this beautiful marble buffet counter, completely empty. So that'll be nice to see it filled again. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I'm just giggling about the chat. There's some funny people in here today.
Yeah, we got to
not be repeating some of the things that they're saying.
I just have to say this. We have a dining review of BOMA that will be coming up. Okay. I don't know if it's this Friday or next Friday on the Disney Dining channel, youtube.com/Disney Dining. So look for that. But it was my first time eating in a buffet in a long, long time. And I don't think I have a hot take or an unpopular take with it, but I think I am officially over the entire style of buffets, especially I don't know if it's just that BOMA had been held in such high esteem for so long that, you know, it's always tough going into a place and being like, yes, I'm ready to have my socks knocked off. And then they are still firmly placed on my feet after a couple hours. You know, that's always tough. But like, it was a sad experience that I didn't really talk about in the review. So I'll just share here as a kind of a spoiler of how the review went, but like the one with some of the replacing of the items, it just was so slow and food was just sitting there. And we're not talking like peak hours with it. By the time we sat down, it was like maybe 8:35. So by the time we started getting food, it was like 8:45. So we're getting late in at the point where it's like the dinner rush isn't slowing down the impact of putting out food. And I don't like that part of it. Not even going into the grossness of it, of seeing people coughing directly in their hands and just standing up and going and grabbing handles and such.
No.
Not even going into that, but just the way that it's like, why are we okay paying for food that just sits there too long, or then food that's not there? Why?
For me, I mean, to get to go back to BOMA, I was so looking forward to it. And we went for dinner but I don't feel like I got my money's worth. I don't feel like I ever do from a buffet. I take that back. I felt like I did at Crystal Palace with all the new Walt inspired food, and they've dropped the price on it. I felt like I got more than my money's worth there. I didn't at BOMA, and I was so looking forward to it. And even if you don't eat like a lot, at the beginning of the day, because you're waiting for BOMA, I get there and go, oh my gosh, I still can't eat as much as I feel like I need to. That being said, it was nice to have it reopened.
I wish they could come up with some way that you could, you know, the all you care to eat, that they would make like they did the buffet before it came to you, so that you don't have all these people up there coughing and whatever, but you could get what you wanted instead of what they wanted to serve you.
Okay.
You know, I would do a buffet that way. Nowadays, I'm not so sure I want to do a buffet. Yeah.
I love family style dining. I like it. It's the convenience because, yes, it is still essentially a buffet that gets thrown in front of you. Not as many options, but it's placed in front of you. You still have the feel of this is a restaurant experience. And, you know, it's because that's where you feel bad. Like, I commend every person who works at Disney for as hard as they work and having to work on holidays and some of the long hours. But there is something strange about the fact that, like, yeah, the people who work in the buffets, you know, it's they bring you your drinks. And that is like that's a big part of what they do. And it's not all they do, but it's a big part of it. And then to be like, to really factor that in, it's like, wow. But when it's so, when we're really factoring it in, if we want to get like a baseline 18% tip with how expensive buffets are, we're getting a very big tip for that. And then it feels weird then when you go to like a smaller restaurant the next day, then go to Plaza in Magic Kingdom, right, where you can have a meal between like $16 and $20. And you're tipping the servers there like a fraction of what they're getting at a buffet. It's always just been very weird to me with that. But I know that's the different restaurants, different fluctuations. Yep. Some people want to work up to get that buffet because they know it's an easy job after that. So you're moving plates, taking them off the table, refilling drinks, and you make a pretty bag for your buck on that. Mm-hmm. So I almost screwed up with my wording there.
Okay.
A bag for your buck?
You make a bag for your buck.
You make a small bag, you put the money in the bag, and then you walk out with the bag, and then you got the bag with the buck.
You limit yourself to fanny packs. I like to get a big bag.
You like the bag with the dollar sign on it, the money bag.
Yes, Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Awesome. Rhino, your thoughts on buffets? Do you have any thoughts? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I think I'm just ruined for life. Everybody knows I have crippling anxiety, and one of the worst things that's my brain started to go through in the last 2 years was kind of like wasteful stuff. Like, so I start to get very like food gets wasted, and like, and I know it's already made, and we shouldn't really be thinking about it in that aspect of stuff. But I'm with Craig. Like, I do like the family style, because I like when it, like, the bowl comes over, and then you're like, because then you're like, should we do another one? You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like there's a little more control to it. Plus the handle thing, sneeze guards, like all that stuff. But all you can eat Zebra Domes. That changes my tune a little bit.
I'll tell you what. Okay. And I don't want to spoil the review. The Zebra Domes weren't even the best dessert there. There was this like hazelnut little brownie bar that was, oh my
What'd
gosh.
You,
call me? You heard me. brownie. Oh, no. No, it was tasty. Zebra Domes are great. Okay. The hazelnut brownie was delicious. The desserts were the highlight for me, were the absolute highlight for me.
So I've never had a Zebra Dome, so I don't even know what they taste like, to be honest. And I can't eat hazelnuts.
Hope.
So those hazelnut brownie bars got left on the buffet. It's sad. So sad. But yeah, so it's... For me, it's something that's returning back to what it, like, nature is healing itself. I'm okay with it going back to a buffet, especially when Ale and Compass is concerned with their breakfast. It's pretty amazing. But I think we all approach buffets a little differently than we did prior to all the unpleasantness happening.
Cape May Cafe, their buffet for breakfast, well, I've done breakfast and dinner, but, I mean, it was awesome. Again, that's one... that for what you pay for that, it's like you can't possibly eat like your food's worth. And then at night before they put the clamp on the crab legs, you used to see people just coming with big plates of them. And it's like, okay, now they're getting their money's worth, but then they added that as an extra charge. But it's like, do you really need – I mean, it's – nice to have all that food, but do you really need all that food?
Yes, and that's a rabbit hole that we
won't go there.
Absolutely, but so they're coming back. If you're looking forward to buffets there, you've got them. Another piece of news that happened just prior to last Tuesday's show closing out, we didn't mention it. We will mention it today. The Grand Floridian Spa is reopening. It used to be Senses Spa, but now it's going to be the Grand Floridian Spa. Mm-hmm. And they have totally redone it. It looks more like Victorian adjacent inside from the pictures that Disney has shown everyone. And it reopens on the 26th of January, and reservations are now available. Has anybody here ever been to the spa at the Grand?
No.
No?
I have not, but I will be going to the one, I think, at the Grand Californian, because I believe that is also about to reopen or just reopened, and I believe it went through like a similar – I don't know if it's the same makeover, but it did get something, and so they, that we've been invited out there to go, and I think that's on the itinerary. I'm assuming. I don't know. Hoping it still happens, but yeah. I am not the only times I've ever been to a spa is like I think it was like Pete paid for a massage for me on that the podcast cruise, the last one we did that was on the Royal Caribbean ship.
Okay.
Like because Pete, I know Pete loves spas, and now he has Fiasco, who also loves spas too. But I'm very much like, I'm so nervous. Don't judge my body and my bones while you break them. But also, like, they're so strong that they're always trying to align my shoulder, and I feel like I'm just crying the whole time.
Oh,
and I'm just like, okay. Don't say that it hurts too much, and then like I'll have bruises later. But they seem like something. I'm not even kidding you. Like right before everything shut down, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and do. I'm going to make a habit of trying to do massages, because they really do. I feel like they do help my back and you know, and that sort of stuff, and self care and things like that. And then the world shut down. I was like, well, nobody's getting up in this space anytime soon.
Nope.
But I would love to attempt a full-on spa day at some point. I guess if you're staying at Grand Floridian, you got that Grand Floridian money. So you got that spa money.
Yeah, possibly. I'd love to go for a facial. I love facials. I love them. And I've had like all of a couple in my entire life. But wouldn't that be fun to do? I got a Mother's Day present 1 year to go and get my nails done there. So
ooh,
that was nice. That was fun getting to go to the Grand and get my nails done.
I have done a mani-pedi before.
Speaking of that, there was I was looking at that.
Yeah.
Where was the one about a manicure is $70? If you want your fingernail polish changed, it's the removal and application. For 15 minutes, it's $25. Mm-hmm. I guess the cheapy part of me went, you know, I can get my own stuff and take it off and put my nail polish on for $25.
There you go.
You know.
Yeah, the price is at $70 for, like, they have an express manicure on the list, but that's still, like, 50, mm-hmm. I want to say. I looked at the prices yesterday, and I was a little surprised by that. Whatever it 50
was. 50-minute manicure is $70. Express manicure, 25 minutes, is
$50. Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's,
I don't know. Looking at some of these things, an expectant mother massage is $175.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what the little baby gets a little teeny massage?
There you go.
Is it that, or is it where – I don't know where I was going.
Giving the massage. Oh my gosh.
Is she expecting? Yeah.
I didn't look.
I didn't even go there, but that's hilarious to me. It's like, no, I would like the expectant mother giving me this massage, please. Yeah, thank you.
She gets up and comes on in. Bless her.
And then I there was an anti-aging hand and foot treatment for 50 minutes is $125. Mm-hmm. I could buy a lot of product for $125.
That's true. You could just be out front of the spa, Kathy, and you could just say, hey,
come
over here.
I got a perfect expectant mother for you.
I got something for you. Yeah, it is. There are Grand Floridian prices that come with the Grand Floridian spa. But
see, in Pittsburgh, when we were stressed, we didn't take a spa day. We would just drink light beer and whiskey and call it a day. And so it just, the idea of a spa just has never registered with me.
You've never been to a spa?
I have been forced against my will to go get a massage, and I spent the entire time telling the person where I did not want them to touch me, because
is this the guessing game today? Show us on the doll. Show us on that gnome where you didn't want them to touch.
My gosh, I'm sure that was a joy and a delight for both you and the massage therapist who was there doing that. Oh my word. All right, moving on. The Muppets have come back to Epcot. We have, actually, did they ever really leave? We could debate that. But the Muppets are at Epcot. And we have, no, you say no. They never really left.
There's a restaurant called Regal Eagle.
I know. So. And I thought about that as soon and the as RZA, the words left my mouth. RZA.
Listen, we're, well, that's not at Epcot.
Oh, well, I thought we meant in general. No. I thought that
she said,
okay, the Muppets, never mind, forget it.
We're going to rewind it. The Muppets have never left Epcot. Yes.
What is this, off the rails?
Exactly. That's what I need to say. The Muppets have never left Epcot, but we have the Muppets there in a new way. We have a new Rainbow Connection, Spaceship Earth, Beacon of Magic show. It lasts about 3 minutes in length, and I don't know about you all. I don't, Kathy, have you seen it with your own two eyes yet?
I've seen Craig's video.
Which is the next closest thing to seeing it with your own two eyes, for sure. Craig has the most amazing video up with the perfect spot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Did I have tissues? Did I get misty-eyed? Yes. Yes. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It's like, why didn't they do this like a long time ago?
Could double as a Captain EO show right there.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
It's the same, like on his chest, it was that same thing.
Well, that's what it was originally supposed to be. And then when they tested it with the music of We Are Here to Save the World, it's just like, oh, it doesn't, something about this just doesn't quite fit right. So luckily there's also more songs that Disney owns about rainbows and what's on the other side.
That's true. I don't know how you felt, Craig. I'm sure as a huge Muppets fan, you were sitting there just gleeful the whole time.
It's really beautiful, and you know, it's the entire song, basically, you know, little snipped here and there from the version from the 2011 Muppets film, which I really do enjoy that version. I think it hits. You know, it's something to me felt like, you know, there's a couple sections where it's just like spinning and blank, like they didn't quite know what to fit in with it. But when the song actually finally peaks and goes into the last verses, and that's when it all comes together. And it's like, it's more, this show is more about hearing the music than the visuals play out with it. And I don't know, it's one of those simple things that everyone is enjoying, that they don't need to go over the top with it. It is technically shoving IP down your throats, but an IP that is
beloved.
Very beloved and way underrepresented. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I am so happy with it. I can't wait to keep seeing what they do with these shows moving on in the future.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. There's a couple of moments during the show where they utilize the ribbon of light that goes around the perimeter of the area, and where that colorful ribbon would happen, and it would end on this crescendo of a note, and you just kind of went, like, there was one point where I just kind of went, oh, like, wow, that was impactful. And just to hear the Muppets and to have them acknowledged and represented again so prominently felt like so much fun. It was so much fun as a Muppets fan to stand there and go, yay, here they are. And I agree with you, Craig. There were a couple moments where I was like, okay, shouldn't it be doing a little bit more right now? But it was okay. When that rainbow crested,
just simple. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's like, it wasn't like in your face. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. And to see all the people standing there watching it, mm-hmm. You know, makes my heart happy because, you know, all the people you hear nowadays complaining about things. Now, here's something simple. They didn't have to do that, but they did. And look at the impact that it had.
Yeah.
Well, it's simple, but it's also, there's a classiness about it, too.
Oh, yeah.
The way the song choices that they make with it, because, like, mm-hmm. going off all the Figment love for the festival this year, they could have easily integrated Journey into Imagination with this and said, we're going to tie it full circle. Mm-hmm. But there's something about hearing Kermit, Miss Piggy, the Muppets singing Rainbow Connection versus, like, having Journey into Imagination music come on. And I love that attraction. I love the original. I still ride the new one, too. But there's something that's just a little bit more beautiful of hearing the Muppets than like, I'm not even going to try to pretend to do a Figment voice because I can't, but it's that Dreamfinder, I'm great. Like that was awful. That was terrible.
No, it was
but
good. It was good.
It would not, something like that wouldn't work as well on it where Rainbow Connection does. So that someone is making good choices is what I was trying to say after 40 minutes of stalling.
I was going
to
ask you why. So why not Figment?
You, why are you talking
why
so
didn't,
much?
Why didn't they use? The love in the room right now. So good. But why didn't they use Figment? Why isn't it one little spark?
I think his voice is a little grating for a lot of people.
Okay. Yeah, I don't care for him.
Yeah,
they played Figment in that area of the day of the marathon, which I thought was really awesome. I was ready to get in my car and go over just to hear it. But I think the Muppets have a bigger appeal for what they were trying to do there. I mean, but I'd like to think they're saving Figment for something bigger and better.
Oh, there you go. Bigger Figment.
Hey, when people wait in line for 6 hours to get a Figment bucket.
We are going to get to that.
No, I wasn't laughing about that. Someone said I sounded like when Kristen Wiig would do the Target cashier.
So now it's that's me. What
perfect.
Classic Figment.
Just love it. It's just perfect. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Next thing is I'm gonna lean on you, Craig, for this. Okay. D23 Expo 2022. Craig, you attended a bit of a preview last Thursday to hear a little bit of the details, the info, the updates to logos and the announcement about pricing and stuff like that. You D23 Expo floats your boat. You obviously love it. When you talk about it, your face lights up. So can you let us know exactly what we need to know about D23 Expo 2022?
Absolutely can. Happy to do it, Denny. So this year, D23 Expo, we already knew the dates. It is September 9th through the 11th of 2022 at the Anaheim Convention Center. And if I got those dates wrong, then that is embarrassing right from the start, but I'm pretty sure that I didn't get them wrong. Okay. And because I've got none of this information in front of me, I'm just going to try to do it all based off of memory. That's the best way something like this can work out for it. But essentially, if you don't know what D23 Expo is, it is the largest Disney fan convention that happens every other year, you know, give or take pandemics kind of forcing plans out of the way with it. But normally it's an event that happens every other year in Anaheim, and it is made up of big panels in Hall D23 where celebrities and Disney legends come to get their Disney Legend Awards, and we hear about all the biggest breaking news from the movies, the parks, and it's exciting. There's a showroom floor where, you know, you can feel free to walk around dressed up in your Disney-inspired costumes, do some shopping. It is a convention meant for Disney fans, and I truly believe that if you are watching this, you are in that level, or listening to this, you're in that level of Disney fan that you would probably truly love this event, because I have a little bit of something for everyone. If you want to go see the new stuff about the parks or the movies, you have that option. If you want the history details from stories from Imagineers and such, they make that available too. It covers all of the Walt Disney Company, and it's really incredible. And this is, you know, like every time around, it's going to be a big year, but this is a big one for them because it's the kickoff of the 100th anniversary celebration of the Walt Disney Company. And it is what they're calling, I believe, Disney 100 is the way they're donning this entire celebration, which, you know, seems a little on the nose to me, but you know what? That's better than nothing at all. But yeah, in terms of the details, what we got was the official on sale information with it. So we knew generalities of what was happening with it, but now we have all the details with it. Tickets officially go on sale on Thursday, this Thursday, the 20th of January. And basically, you have to be a D23 member in order to buy tickets. They have two, technically three tiers. They have D23 Gold Member Family, D23 Gold member, and then a D23 General member. And okay. The general membership is free. You don't get the magazine. You don't get the gifts. You basically have the option to, when there's D23 events like this that's open to all members, you can sign up to be a part of it.
Okay.
So, pay to be a part of it. Let's be real. And then the gold membership, it's $99, I think, now a year, and you get the magazine 4 times a year, and you get an awesome little gift set when you sign up. And then the gold family member just allows more members of your family to be able to have the membership. So you need one of those three in order to buy tickets to the event. And then once you are a member and you want to get your tickets, you have technically three different options. You have 1-day tickets for gold members. It is $89 per adult per day for a 1-day ticket. A 3-day ticket is $229. And if you're not a gold ticket, a gold member, if you're just a regular one, it's $99 per adult for a 1-day ticket. And it is $279.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it was right. Yep. I'm like trying to picture it in my head because I didn't have it here in front of me. And those are your options for that. But this year they are also doing a Hall D23 preferred seating pass. And I'm going to go ahead and tell everyone out there, you don't want this thing. Don't
really?
Go for it. Well, because
no, don't.
Don't go for it because we want
you
it.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. Hall D23 is where the Disney Legends Awards happen. It's where they bring out all the celebrities from the Marvel, Star Wars, Disney films that are upcoming. That's where the theme park panel happens, where they announce what's coming. It is the go-to room that you want to probably be in for most of the weekend if that's what you care about. If you care about the big stuff,
right.
That's all in here. So before, the only way to get guaranteed seating in there was by being a sorcerer, which that was when Rhino and I did it in 2019. It was $2,500, very steep, but you had you would get to sit in the first 8 rows of that and be super close to the stage with it. And that is the only reason why I can say I have touched Dwayne The Rock Johnson, not once, but twice.
Ooh,
so it's prime seating. And while Pete paid for it the first time around, Rhino and I both had agreed. We're probably going to go for it again. To me, it was a value. Even if the Diz would not have paid for it in 2022, if it would have been an option, I have been setting aside money solely just to pay for it. It was a one of a kind thing. They threw extra parties for us and had special rooms. It wasn't really that stuff. It was just the experience of being right down front and center for this stuff that was truly amazing. So they want to give more people an opportunity to have it at a better price point. So the Hall D23 preferred seating pass is $899. And it's good for all 3 days. You'll get to be in that front section. Don't have any idea of how limited it is. Don't know how many rows will technically be in that front seating. It could be a lot. Could be way bigger than Sorcerers. They're not ready to share those details yet. But it is a ticket that's available. And so the other part of the tickets and buying them, all of those go on sale to everyone on the 20th. But if you have a Visa card, not just a Disney Visa card, any Visa card, you can do the pre-sale on this Wednesday, the 19th.
Oh, wow.
I believe 10 a.m. is when that starts. And that is only for the 1-day tickets and the 3-day tickets. You cannot get the Hall D23 preferred on that day. That is a Thursday only. So keep that in mind. If you're going for Hall D23 preferred, don't sit there waiting on your computer on Wednesday thinking oh, it's sold out. I can't get it. It's not available until Thursday. So keep that in mind. But it's, again, any Visa card holder, not just Disney.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Wait, because Visa is sponsoring the event this year.
So it is not part of the pre-sale.
No.
So, you don't need the credit card to get it. You just have to be a D23 gold member to purchase that particular ticket.
Okay. Correct.
Which I am not. But I think, that's the one that doesn't have a discount. The other ones had the discount. So that's the one where you've got to just suck up the $100, I guess, and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Will you still need to sleep on the concrete for a panel?
Well, they don't do that anymore anyways. There was a standby line, but last time around with the event, they started a stage pass. So you booked it ahead, but there were some people like Michael Bowling who luckily got every single big panel and had a guaranteed to get into it. And then there was other people who got absolutely nothing the entire weekend. So it wasn't a strong system the last time around when they used it, but that's still the main way they're going to go with it. And there will be standby if you're not lucky enough to get it, but it's, you know, it's a game, but there are so many people out there who come to this event who don't care about any of the panels. Mm. It's really, there's some people who like Rhino and me love it. And then there's people out there that literally want to come up dressed in costume and only attend like the Mousecarade design show that they have, where everyone comes up and with their costumes and there's prize money for the best costumes and such. So there's some people that that's all it's about, or buying merchandise and exploring the showroom floor. So it's not one of those things. If you don't think you're interested in sitting for long points in time and listening to information just be shoved down your throat, you know, maybe don't go straight to the expensive ticket. But if you know you want to hear the big stuff, you want to see celebrities, that's your best way of getting it. And I know I'm going really long on this, so I want to kind of get away from it. But real quick, the cool thing that I think for Disney fans that they announced that they're doing is that the Walt Disney's plane, the one that sat out of the studio backlot tour for the longest time, and then after that closed, got moved to just a random section of Walt Disney World. It is a big part of the event this year because they are taking it from Walt Disney World across the country to California, and they are going to restore it, and everyone will be able to have a chance to see it who is attending the event. And
that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely
They're
cool.
They're taking the car's eyes off of it.
They are completely restoring it. So I love this from the aspect of it's, you know, D23 of the Walt Disney Archives are doing it in conjunction with Amazon. So it's a big, big deal. But I know what a good job that D23 and the archives did on Walt's office that you can see as part of the studio tour. And they're clear. This is like the next step in that. It's like, oh, we took care of that. Now let's take care of this other piece of company history that Walt touched and be able to bring it back to its complete glory. And I'm sure we'll only get to see the outside, but I would love if they make it available that you can go in and see. Cause like the one time I got to go to Graceland, you could walk into Elvis's plane see like all the seatbelts were golden and just ridiculous. Everything had TBC, taking care of business, TCB. It's like, I hope we'd get to walk inside. I doubt that's going to ever happen, but it's so cool that they're doing this.
Well, the rumor was, cause this plane used to be at, you know, in the back lot behind Lights, Motors, Action, was that the inside had been destroyed.
Yeah, like there's nothing in it.
Yeah, it was like, it's just a shell. So whatever they do, it's not really his. It's just a fake interior of the plane. I guess it's, you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem, is that they didn't care for this plane at all, clearly, because they painted eyes on it.
When they took it off backlot tour, they took it backstage and they painted it. And the story was back then that it was going to go to the archives or it was going to go someplace. Yeah. And everybody got excited. And then they took it to another spot, you know, that people have Google images. We went by it where it was back by property control. Mm-hmm. But then somebody got in it while it was sitting back there because it's not guarded or anything else.
Yeah, it was just
Wrapped it in plastic. So I don't know what kind of shape it's, you know, and even if, like you said, and if they put an interior in it, it's not the original interior. It's something they threw in there.
Yeah, but I don't
see them doing it though.
Yeah, I don't need them to. Walt's not a god. Right. I don't know if people need to like hear that. He's not a god. I don't need to be like, oh, the man sat and put his butt cheeks right on this seat.
Okay.
And that was there. I want to see what it looked like. When he was part of, like, I want to see a complete replication of,
like, a restoration
exactly.
of what was inside.
I get that, and I think that's really awesome, and I'd be the first person in line to go see it. But that's like when you go to Walt's apartment out at Disneyland, and when I saw it, I'm like, okay, so did he sit on that sofa? Oh, no, that's in the museum. Oh, is that his glasses for whatever his drink was? No, that's in the museum. So it's like, they could have put my furniture in there.
I get what you're saying. But that being said, I stood there in his apartment and got misty eyed.
Oh, I did too. Like, you know, seeing his shower and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, it sort of took something, maybe I needed to go out to the museum and see his furniture out there, but it would have been nice if they would have had like a love seat or, you know, like where they said what, when he used to go out on the, like the patio or whatever and tell Lillian about how many people came into Disneyland that day. Would have been nice to see like maybe one of his chairs that he sat on, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't have to be everything. Same with the plane. You can restore it so that it looks like how it was, but it would be nice if there was something that came from the original mm-hmm. plane.
It would be nice if something came from the original, but at the same time too, I also was like, I don't, maybe I'm just getting more and more, I don't want to use ornery and all the other words I've used for it before, but like, it, what am I going to do? Take a picture of it and be like, oh, that is right the chair here. That he sat in. Like, then I have a picture of a freaking chair. It's like, what? I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, you're too good for chairs?
Okay. That's the same thing. Like, they have the bench that Walt sat on right. out by the carousel. That means more to me than if you went to Home Depot and stuck a bench there. That's the bench.
Yep. I think it's just I'm becoming, and I don't want to say it more bitter. I think I'm losing a value for a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, I still think it's neat, but it's not, it's no longer, I don't know. Maybe there's I don't know.
For me, it would be just getting to see it. I would love to, they're not going to let you touch it, but wouldn't it be amazing just to touch the outside of the plane? Like for
I've touched it, Denny. It fell off a Pargo right underneath it.
Did you?
Yeah. But I also did touch the plane. Yeah. Because we used to literally, that's how you had to ride the bike around. If you went to take five, you had to go out that way or you'd come back that way. And always, or at the end of the night, if you were lucky and they would take you in the Pargo, the 1 mile walk up to costuming to clock out, I would walk out and you just like rub your finger along the bottom of the plane, you know. So it's like every day going in and out of work, it always touched the bottom of the plane. So I'm like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is the coolest thing.
You know, the TVs, the ones on Disney Plus where they go to the archives and they bring out like Mary Poppins' jacket and everybody sits there and goes like, oh, wow. I mean,
I have a different appreciation for props and stuff, especially when it's like movie worn props. Okay. Because that, it's like, that is something that I distinctly have a connection to, you know, it's, I can read, like, when I went to the Puppetry Museum in Atlanta, and you see most of the Muppets, and you see the puppets they used for Emmett Otter, and Sesame Street, it's like, you know, at some point in time, those exact ones that were a part of the movies or TV shows that you loved, and you saw those firsthand, with stuff like Walt's plane, not to go back to that, it's like, well, I wasn't riding around with it in Walt. I just know that it was a part of it. So I don't necessarily need it to be the exact same things with it. But when it's a prop or something like that, I don't want to see a replica prop. That's just another piece. So I agree with you. There's a, for me, it, not that I know you disagree with me on most of this stuff, Kathy, but I think when it comes to something like an actual artifact from a movie, that's a different standpoint for me.
See, I look at it because I love airplanes. And I love, you know, NASA stuff. And I go great distances to see stuff that came off of space shuttles and whatever. That would be the same thing with Walt's plane. And somewhere I would hope they have some of the stuff from the plane. Throw a few, you know, even if it's not up in the plane, have a little, you know, display outside the plane like, this is the coffee table he used, or this is the coffee cups that they used on the plane. Just something.
Like an estate sale.
Yeah. You know, something to show you like that they, if this plane is such a big deal, they should have some artifacts from that plane rather than, hey, look, we took it to, you know, Mako and they painted it and we took it here and they put seats in it.
It's like, this was a cigarette we found on the floor. Could be from a cast member who was smoking on their break in there. Could be Walt's. Walt. We'll never know.
That's Walt's cigarette. But, I mean, in a utopian world, this stuff would be taken care of from the word go, right?
Just hire Tom Hanks to sit in there and I'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, that'd work.
There we go. Middle ground. We found it.
That's it. Just Tom could clear his calendar and just sit there.
Then we'll get the butt cheeks.
There you go.
Right in the seat.
There you
just
go.
Just like Craig wanted.
it's close enough, and we'll take what we can get. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me,
you said butt cheeks earlier. Am I wrong?
Butt cheeks.
Butt cheeks. Butt cheeks.
There we go, friends. There we go. I'm excited that we're getting a little piece of Walt Disney World history restored. And please take Disney Company, please take care of everything from here on out so it doesn't
save everything. Do not throw anything away. We need all of Chapek's notes.
Oh, no. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, no. So that's so cool. So we will vicariously live through you and through Rhino, Craig, as you go on your adventure.
You can come too. I didn't uninvite you.
Fall.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's a good chance we're not going out for work. We're going out because we genuinely enjoy it. So I don't know how Pete's going to feel about both of us trying to take off the same exact days in September.
I feel like I'm getting sick in September already.
Yeah.
This will definitely catch up with me the week of September 9th.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
We went to, as I mentioned earlier, we went to the first day of the Festival of the Arts on Friday, and we had an adventure. We all did different things. We all ate a lot of food. All of that can be documented. It is documented on the other channels, we mentioned it on our social media, the 5-hour wait for the Figment popcorn bucket that has now sold out. May it rest in peace for however long it is sold out for. We only have a few minutes, but what one piece of advice would we give to someone who is listening or who is watching, who is thinking, hey, maybe I might try to go to Festival of the Arts at some point? What one piece of advice would you give them, specific to this festival?
Pack your patience and don't go on the weekend.
Okay.
Don't wait in 6-hour lines.
Okay. Okay.
Here's the thing. The next day it was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but I get it. It might not all align and you run the risk of selling out. But, you know, also like if it brings you joy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Wait in the 6-hour line. If that's then you have that popcorn bucket and you've got your store and you made a friend, I don't care. So, yeah, I don't really have advice. I just feel like going day one can be a little crazy. It can always be very crowded at these festivals day one. So it's like, you know, what Kathy said, if you're going in that first day or in the weekend, you know, you do have to be a little more like, okay, patient and prepared for that because the crowds will be thicker, heavier. What am I thinking of? Condensed, more people, whatever. So, just, you know, I don't know, brace yourself for that. I would say go online. You know, there's a website I've heard about. I think it's called WDW Info. But the Diz, you can see the menu or whatever. And I would say just kind of peruse real quickly and literally make like a little chart in your notes. Name what booth you're looking for, what items you might be interested in. It can change when you're there on that day. But that will save you a lot of stress, you know. I'd also see if you can look up and see where the booth is because day one I was wandering around being like, I don't know where this booth is. They're not in the same place as they always were before. Like, you know, Pop Eats had been moved over. And so it wasn't like in years past, it had been where like Hawaii sometimes is for food and wine. So like that could throw you a little bit. So like stuff like that just makes your day easier. But I just put in your notes on your phone. You got a little checklist as you go. And that's, you know, there's that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's sensory overload, right? When you walk in the park and you've got this festival passport, but it's hard to know, okay, it's hard to stop and consume all of the information all at once. So I would agree with you, Rhino, completely. Craig, what about you?
Well, I'll be honest. I wasn't completely listening to what Rhino was saying. Okay. So
what else is new?
Yeah, no, I guess my full takeaway from it is I think there's good food to be found at the event. Whether or not it's priced accordingly to how you like to pay for food, that is up to you. But there's definitely food. There's a lot of art that I'm sure a lot of people will want to buy. And that's where I'm going to stop with it, because apparently calling canvas tents a flea market will get you lambasted up and down, even though I was not insulting the artist's work that was inside the tent. Just that I think Disney is doing the artists an insult by not taking the World Showplace, actually setting up a proper gallery exhibit and giving them a great place to actually meet people and sign that isn't just outside in unpredictable Florida weather. And that's all I'm trying to say with it. And then as far as the Figment popcorn bucket whole situation goes, I am so happy that people were able to wait in time, wait in that long line for it. I only hope that Disney does not continue mass producing this year after year after year after year.
Yeah.
Because then I would feel so bad for people who, you know, they may have lost out on that one and only day that they could have that special thing. And then the next time they came back to Walt Disney World, they could have just walked right up and purchased it. So I bet at the same time, too, a lot of people missed out on it. And I hope that they have to. I don't like how Disney handled that at all.
They could have done a virtual queue. They've implemented it for so many things. And they, at Disneyland, I know this isn't Disneyland, but when they did the Haunted Mansion Gargoyle Tiki Mug, and I think they did it for another release, they did a virtual merchandise queue for that. Mm-hmm. So nobody was waiting in line for that stuff.
So the hard part with that, though, is where I don't necessarily agree that it can cross over, is that those mugs are, they're high limited edition, but they're still limited edition. They have the casts made for them, and it's a process to make a mug that goes through. And I know there's a process for the popcorn buckets as well, too. And a lot of art goes into it before it even, you know, it even gets sculpted and comes to life with it. But they are making these out of plastic in order for them to be mass produced at the cheapest possibility for it. So the last thing that these popcorn buckets should ever be is limited edition. Once we start going down that road, that's a really dark thing that I don't want to see. But the fact of the matter is, and I know I can't remember her name now and I feel terrible. We met her in line, who she was kind of telling us that apparently they kind of wanted this as another experiment of seeing if we only put this here in this one spot, what will happen.
Oh.
But this bucket should have been just like the stupid spork they were selling. It should have been available at least half of the booths around. So that way it dispersed that line out and made it so much easier. So it wouldn't have forced people to wait that long. I know it would have been tough then if they were in a line where, oh, this one only has like 50 buckets. So you might have waited an hour to find out you couldn't get one and have to go to another one. I know there's bad logistics around stuff like that, but it wasn't done right. Or you knew everyone wanted them. Put again, the World Showplace is getting rent out to cheerleaders and other garbage like that. Set up a merch spot where they could have had 20 registers in a row with people wanting to walk up and buy these things. There had to be another way around this. And I don't, and it all goes back to that insult of when Hagrid's opened up and it had that awful 10-hour wait in line, and Bob Chapek went on the record and said, I don't see a 10-hour line as a success. I see that as a failure. So why does this now happen in this part where people, not a brand new attraction that hasn't been experienced before, for a piece of plastic that they're charging $26 for that probably cost 30 cents to get made. How do you consider a long line for a brand new attraction a success or a failure, but a 7-hour line for a popcorn bucket?
It's
like, I don't get it.
It's Figment, okay?
No,
that's what it is.
It's called being a hypocrite. And I like a lot of things that Chapek does, but this is the one part where I really stick on him with that. When he made that comment back then, it seemed very short-sighted, considering that we know Rhino waited 6 hours plus for freaking Frozen Ever After. And we know that Disney has had that problem too. So I don't like when someone goes and insults another company like that when Disney hasn't ever quite figured it out as well too. So that's my only sticking point with it.
For me, it was frustrating because on my list, because we had all kind of thought of what we wanted to try that first day, and the Mondrian Frangipane cake.
The almond cake?
I thought the same thing, though.
I thought, why wouldn't they just move the purchasing of that to literally a table right next to it so people could get the food they wanted from that booth?
Could not get that slice of cake that literally they have been selling every single year that they've done the Arts Festival. I just have never gotten it. And it's literally in every piece of promo for the festival. So I'm like,
delicious.
I gotta get this. And I love all things almond. But no, the cast member said, nope, they are not doing, they're doing only one line. So if I wanted that slice of cake, I needed to wait 5 hours for it with all the you know, popcorn bucket peeps. And I had to bump it to, you know, plan B, which plan B was delicious. But it just wasn't, that's unfortunate that it prevented people from getting what they wanted.
I think the whole Figment thing, I mean, everybody knows I'm the Figment fan, but it's funny, until this popcorn bucket came out, where the heck has all these Figment fans been? I mean, I know there's a lot of them out there. Yeah. I was sort of, I don't want to say mad, but it's like, where were you people when it was, you know, like, speak up? Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice there's a popcorn bucket, and I love my popcorn bucket, but I'd like to see the attraction itself be improved, not, you know, oh, we solved world peace today because everybody got a Figment bucket. You know, it was making me mad. It's like, so do something with this popularity, because it can't just be that, oh, look, there's a cute purple popcorn bucket.
Yes. Well, so you're thinking there were a lot of fair weather Figment fans.
Well, there was that, but then the rest of the fans, I mean, not everybody can be vocal about it, but, you know, Disney should look at that. Like, what? I guess I was looking at it like, what is their thinking on this? That they came out with this popcorn bucket. They've refused to do anything to the attraction, but yet they put Figment on all the, you know, festival merchandise and all this kind of stuff. Do something to the attraction. And if they did, it's not like they're not going to make money at it, because, you know, many times Figment outsells Mickey. So put your money, you know, into something else.
Capitalize on that, baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there'll be a lot as the festival goes on for the next month. I know we'll have a lot of continuing thoughts, advice, things like that to share with you. So keep an eye out for articles and other videos and vlogs and things like that, because I know that won't be my last time at the festival. I'll need to get back over there at least to get the frangipane cake at some point now that Figment has hightailed it out of there. But definitely let us know in the comment section if you have any questions about the Arts Festival. We'd love to help answer those. But before we're going to wrap it up, but before we do that, I know, Craig, you said you had some things that you wanted to mention.
Yes, I do have things to mention. Let me pull out my
we have notes?
1980s tablet.
Are you going to mention the after show?
Yes, I got. Yeah, well, Patreon. Rhino, I'll let you talk about that real quick here while I'm getting my notes.
Just don't forget, we'll be doing an after show that's open to all of our Patreon supporters. Any tier that you are in on there, if you want to become a supporter, there are several different tiers with different types of rewards that we offer on there. And we're going to be redoing a little bit of that very soon. But that is patreon.com/DizUnplugs. And again, we do that right after the show. It's a little decompress for everybody. So I know Denny's got some topics she wants to talk about today, which is always fun.
I do. Got to discuss Moon Knight.
Yeah. So I think we always have a good time on there. So be sure to check that out. Again, patreon.com/DizUnplugged.
Well, my notes did not sync from my computer to my phone. Yeah. So it's basically just an update on a lot of stuff happening with the different shows. The big one that I wanted to mention for audio listeners out there is that we are going to be recording new episodes of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World this week. And that show will start releasing again next week. So if you are looking to watch it on the Diz Unplugged, it will be available someday. I'm not sure which day of the week it will be going
was
up on Diz Unplugged.
Sunday or someday?
Someday. Someday during the week on Diz Unplugged, that will be the day that we set for Best and Worst. Probably Wednesday, but I'm not quite sure yet. We have to work that out with Pete. But that will be happening there. And then those episodes will be released to the Best and Worst feed that was temporarily changed to the Off the Rails feed. And in place of that now, Off the Rails is now its own audio feed. And you can find that now on at least Apple Podcasts. And I have to go back and check the progress on all the other different places, Spotify, Stitcher, you know, Google Play, all of the places that we make sure that they're pushing our podcast. I have to make sure that it's available on all of those. It might not be yet, but That's what's happening with Off the Rails. So you're going, if you're an audio listener again specifically, you're going to see that it's going to change back to best and worst artwork, and then no more Off the Rails episodes will be on there. So if you want to find it, you'll have to go to it. And I know I've been putting the link to the RSS feed in the description for each week's episode. So you should be able to find it that way as well too. And then in terms of other show news, I don't really remember a lot of that, what I wanted to say in terms of, you know, moving to Orlando and Disney Dining Channel. Make sure you go and find all of those right at the front of youtube.com/DizUnplugged. That'll have links to all the different YouTube channels that we have, so you can keep up with all of the different shows. But the one other one I wanted to mention too, of course, was Connecting with Walt. That is our audio exclusive podcast that you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. And we came back for our new season that we started in January, and we will be doing about, I think, 12 more weeks of episodes, give or take, and then we'll take a temporary pause off for a couple weeks to start recording more new episodes and get back on the same page, and then we'll end up going through another season and continually do that off and on. So just giving ourselves a little bit more downtime, so that way Michael has more time to work on some of the history episodes. So if you're wondering where the videos are for it, it's not a video show. It's an audio only show, and I recommend it. You know what? Put it on in the background while you're cooking, driving, cleaning, anything. It's worth a listen if you can stand the sound of my voice. That is, I know we all know Michael has a great voice that people like, but if you can stand mine, then you might enjoy what you hear from it.
You might.
And that's all I'm mentioning. When I sync my list eventually one day, we'll figure it all out next week.
Perfect. So stay tuned to next week. It's good stuff. It's coming. So thank you so much for tuning in today and for watching along. We hope that you have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much, Rhino and Kathy and Craig, for joining me for this conversation. Hope you all have a good one. Take good care, everyone. Bye.